Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hello and welcome inside the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Where I don't know if they have, but you are in the greater Missouri area. If you have found the Joker's car, please call authorities. If the Joker is driving around somewhere in Missouri, I think the authorities need to know this. Mike Harmon, agree or disagree?
No, there's no question about it. You got to make sure that you are vigilant. And yes, we'll keep an eye out at the beaches here because the Joker has been known to hit the waves.
Batman.
You know, I knew with this story tonight we were going to play that Batman thing like 1,000 times, but I don't really care because it's just so crazy.
Batman.
Just before we get to the big story involving Dak Prescott, I mean, this is just so much fun. The Highway Patrol in Missouri wanted to test their, I guess you want to call their public emergency alert system. Mm-hmm. So they sent out what was supposed to be a test, but actually went out to cell phones a little bit before 5 o'clock today, where there was an emergency in Gotham City, Missouri. Here's the thing. There is no Gotham City, Missouri. They were on the lookout for a purple and green 1978 Dodge 3700 GT with the license plate "You Kid Me" on it, which is the Joker's car. Problem is, people thought, oh my God, there's a big alert. There's something big going out. Something's happening in Gotham City, Missouri. Again, not a real place. Looking for the Joker's car. Again, not a real car. So that is what the good people of Missouri and now us are dealing with from afar tonight, because maybe if you find the Joker's car, the police can apprehend this horrible felon who has done so many bad things over the years.
I think it's fantastic, really, on a whole other level, because, you know, you could have just said, hey, we're getting ready for our April Fool's prank or something. But at least this is easily debunked as to something fictitious, because otherwise you're like, what the hell's going on here? Right? Because even in Missouri, I bet you a lot of folks Googling it going, is there a little town? Is there something we missed?
Of course. Of course.
Right? We don't know. Because in California, you got all sorts of little towns and cities all over the place.
Like, they could have said Gotham City, California, and I would have said, oh, that's funny. There's a Gotham City, California.
Where is that? Is that closer to San Francisco or Oakland?
Yeah, I don't know. Is that is it Inland Empire? Is it down in San Diego? I don't know where Gotham City is. No, I could have said, okay, that's exactly what it is. But you know who the happiest person is right now? The Penguin, because they're not looking for him.
No, it's true.
Penguin's cool right now, man.
Right now he's getting a free run.
Penguin is okay. So is Catwoman. Catwoman's fine. Mr. Freeze is cool. They're looking for the Joker.
You want to get Egghead and everybody else in while you're in, while you're at it?
That was an exquisite reference, Mike Harmon.
And which Catwoman? Are you a Merryweather? I'm an Eartha Kitt guy myself.
That was an excellent point you made there, Carmen. Oh, no,
there
no.
I was, as I we was get Julie, our Vincent no, no, no. Price in.
I was Julie Newmar all the
and
way.
And Julie Newmar,
oh, no, no.
Sure.
Julie Newmar all the way. You're kidding? Oh, yeah. And then Halle Berry, and then, oh, yeah. But, hey, so those villains, apparently, they're okay tonight. Go out and party, do whatever. Man, I'll tell you, some kind of party somewhere on the beach with a Batman villain. Is just not the Joker, because they're looking for him. Looking for that
Poison Ivy, King Tut.
Now we're getting into this, the second tier of Batman.
Hey, man, they had a couple of episodes, you know, during the 1966 TV series, so let's get after it.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues, works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Now, That's a great segue. Exceptionally common sense. Because the next guy we're talking about does not have exceptionally common sense. You want to hear another reason why the Cowboys and Dak Prescott fall short. It's this ridiculous drama that they're dealing with today. Remember, it was on Sunday. Dak Prescott weighed in on his opinion on the officials because, you know, unless you didn't know anything going on about football, the Cowboys lost out on a chance for a final play in the end zone because the official couldn't get the ball set in time. And there was also lots of penalties called against the Dallas Cowboys, 14. You can't win when that happens that way. So when Dak Prescott was asked about fans throwing stuff at the officials after the game and during the game, this was Dak's answer.
Dak, what do you think about the fans throwing?
No, I didn't see that. It's sad. I mean, you're talking about a team. You're talking about men that come out each and every day of their lives and give everything to this sport, give everything to this game of football. Nobody wants to succeed more than we want to succeed. I understand fans and the word fan for fanatic. I get that. But to know everything that we put into this day in and day out, try our hardest. Nobody comes in the game wanting or expecting to lose. And for people to react that way when you're supposed to be a supporter, be with us through thick and thin, that's tough.
The referees.
Credit to them then. Credit to them.
So there's Dak. Credit to them for throwing stuff at the officials. Now, he had his chance during the press conference to walk it back. He did not. And then probably realized, oh boy, maybe I shouldn't have done that. NBA referees stood up today when there was no action, very upset, hoping the NFL would punish Dak Prescott for his words, basically saying it's okay to throw stuff at referees, which, you know, clearly you don't want fans to go, oh, I can? How about some batteries then instead of the empty cups I'm throwing or something else? Had to put out a statement today three times to his followers on social media that he regrets the comments he made regarding the officials after the game on Sunday, was caught up in the emotion of a disappointing loss, and my words were uncalled for and unfair. All right, now, in and of itself, what is this? This is Dak Prescott being a knucklehead, and this is a story that, boy, look at Dak and stepping in it, and this is what happens, and the Cowboys don't lose, and But we talked about this last night. You want to know why the Cowboys fall short is because they put too much in the eggs of put all their eggs in Dak Prescott's basket, right? And on the field, he's just not that guy, right? Dak Prescott's a good quarterback, but he's not elite. He's not Brady. He's not Rodgers. He's not Russell Wilson. He's not Patrick Mahomes. He's not those guys. He just isn't. The Cowboys think he is because he's a Cowboy. And oh my goodness, we plucked him from obscurity because he was someone that nobody wanted. Look at us. We've got this guy. Hey, look, we're making muscles now. We're happy. And Dak just isn't that guy. And this is why the Cowboys are good enough to play and make the playoffs, but they're not good enough to win in the playoffs, despite the fact that they have the most stacked offensive roster in the bleeping National Football League. And they still are the only home team to lose the first round of the playoffs, right? Dak is not these guys. And this is another example of it. After a game, if people are throwing stuff at the restaurant, is Mahomes or Wilson or Rodgers or Brady saying, yeah, throw stuff at the officials? Are they saying that? Of course not. And yeah, these guys are a little bit old. Well, Mahomes isn't. Of course, these guys are a little bit older, but Dak's been in the league now 7 years. And, you know, this is another reason to see the difference between Dak and all the guys that are still playing in the playoffs and moving on. Because Dak is not these guys. Whether it's on-the-field behavior, off-the-field behavior, this is why the Cowboys fall short. And no, it didn't have anything to do with the game itself, but it's part of, hey, okay, maybe we've overvalued Dak Prescott just a little bit in Dallas. And boy, wish we hadn't done that before we gave him $45 million a year. But hey, we did it now. This is why the Cowboys fall short.
Well, we talk about Jerry Jones, and you and I have been doing the, if you've got a bad owner, you're stuck forever. How many times did you see joking, let him have run a couple of reps towards the end of the game as an actual player when it got really bad? In this case, right, for Dak Prescott, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday in terms of what shoulda, woulda, coulda. I said he was the biggest loser of the weekend coming off of this, and then we saw Kyler Murray probably said, hold my beer, based on the way he's been attacked. And, well, some of the stuff is just completely out of bounds, ridiculous, and how folks get a pass for it, I'll never know. But when you look at this comment, you know, when he said it, he could have gotten the initial laugh and then just come back in. Because our smart-ass instinct might have been to say something similar, right? You, me, a lot of guys in our work and people that we know. Look, we're a bunch of one-liners, and that was like put up on a tee. No, Dak. It was for the refs. And then insert the, well, okay, then, whatever. But then you've got to immediately recognize, all right, I got to clean that. Like, there's no 36-hour gestation period before you come back, because now it looks completely disingenuous of, oh, I took too much blowback. So we've
right.
got to.
I didn't do it right away. I didn't like what everybody said about me. Now I got to do damage control. Oh, now I regret it. Now
well,
I'm deeply
what
sorry.
I did like, Jason, was the response, because he sent out three of them. Because one just wasn't good enough. And the first one sent was, that was a mistake on my behalf, and I am sorry. And a lot of Cowboy fans immediately are like, all right, which player are you referring to? And not even taking it back into the press conference, right? Even if, again, smartass, you know what he's trying to say and starting to say. But, hey, let's hold him to the fire for these other things. Yeah, you got a lot of talent on both sides of the ball. You're likely losing your defensive coordinator, the guy that galvanized everything, unless you give him the head coaching job, which I think Jerry Jones, given the number of interviews set for Dan Quinn, really needs to think about fast. And hell, Kellen Moore, who you love maybe not as much as Jason Garrett, but maybe in that vein, he's taking interviews too. So in the end, you may be stuck with McCarthy and whoever comes to town. I don't know that.
Who's getting off the bus? I don't know. Maybe the Joker's car will be here. Let's hire the Joker to be our offensive coordinator.
Well, if you make him the defensive coordinator, there's a lot of trickeration and
oh, that is true.
That
yes,
can go on there.
There will be.
There's
no question. Yes. Yeah.
Although his
right.
goons were
you're
really right. bad.
Yeah.
They were terrible.
Oh, well who's goon? Who had good goons? None of the villains had good
Penguin
goons.
Had every once in a while, he had guys that at least were competent for a minute or two and would at least get you into the predicament situation of holy. And, you know, on the next, you know, same bat time, same bat channel, you'd at least have a cliffhanger.
You know, I think that's a pretty good poll question. Which Batman villain had the best goons? I think that's
well.
A,
that's going
that's
up
a pretty
on the
good
metal
poll question.
Stand. Yeah, no,
I think that's a
good.
Pretty good poll question,
I
right?
Like
you,
that.
You're going with Pat.
I mean, I'll have to go back and revisit the entire series. And,
I mean, you can't just throw
really
that out there and not back it up. You know,
No. That's what I mean. I got to go and like off my gut because the Riddler acted alone. He was just an agitator.
Oh, nobody could trust him. Come on.
But that's the thing.
I don't
right?
know if he I'm was getting paid if I'm working for the Riddler.
I mean, Frank Gorshin's just a genius.
I don't know.
It was just brilliance.
No, it's not happening. And you know, the Joker's a guy that will say, yeah, it's all set to go, and then you'll show up and be the one when the cops are there. I mean,
You also had a guy who was so brazen that he showed up to set, put on all the makeup, and refused to shave his mustache.
Yeah,
so,
well,
like, that's the best thing ever, Cesar Romero, because
thing.
He was, you know, the heartthrob in the movies, and he was like, I'm not shaving this. I'm not shaving this for your Batman. No. When I'm out of town. This
Mr. Freeze, I don't want any part of Mr. Freeze because it's going to be freezing cold. Where I'm like, oh my god, why do I have to wear this parka every single day? Come on, man, I got.
Yeah, but you know
sunshine.
What? People are lively. It's like when you have a television set or our Fox Sports Radio studios. When I'm in control of the thermostat, it's going to be a little colder. Why? Because it's going to keep people on edge, keep everybody fired up and rolling through the night. As opposed to if you make it really warm, what are you doing? Hey, nap time.
No, I'm going to try to get into the inner sanctum. Of Catwoman, and then you know, try to give her my personality. Going, hey boy, that goon number three right there, he's got it going on right there. And suddenly, I'm Catwoman's boyfriend, and now I'm like, yeah,
that's a pretty good move.
Hey, Selena Kyle, that's me. I got game right now. You want to sit here and watch Syracuse and Clemson with me? Hey, come on, Clemson are the Tigers, which is kind of a cat like you. We're the Orange, which let's say the Tigers. Look, Dak Prescott is someone who, and this is the big thing for the Cowboys. You talked about who they brought in and what they could do. Their only way forward past where they are now is if he has some kind of mid-career James Harden, hey, or Shaquille O'Neal, I need to be doing it better. and I need to be doing all of this more than I can do it right now and rededicate myself to being better than I am. And when if those guys did it, you look what they did. Shaq won championships. Harden became one of the best players in NBA history, and he's still playing and still playing at an extremely high level. That's the only thing for the Cowboys, because you can't say they don't have – they have everything. What else do they need? They need their quarterback to be someone who can drag them through games, and he's not that guy. That's Dak.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Mike, check. Hey. Mike, check.
If you want exclusive insight from the biggest names in the sports game, what's good? This is national champion and former pro baller Chris Johnson. And let me tell you a little bit about my new series, KJ Live.
KJ Live is the only show featuring me going one-on-one with the brightest basketball minds on the planet to get the real.
And when I say real, I mean that real. I got legendary Hall of Famers, elite coaches, and the top basketball insiders bringing you a unique perspective on all things hoops culture that you will not find anywhere else.
To make your next move your best move.
And tap in with me on KJ Live, wherever you get your podcast from.
Oh, suddenly now I'm 20 years old in a car by myself on a Friday night, listening to the radio going, does my life have meaning? What do I need to do in my life? Turning up my collar to the cold and just thinking about life and what it holds for me. Strange music plays in my speaker. Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Has anything really changed? I mean, really. It's a different song, maybe. Because I'm certainly not turning back the clock to this. But it's, you know, the existential angst, the what are we doing? If you haven't at least thought that once in the last 2 years, then you're a better person. More resolute than I don't. I mean, the collective you. Tie Shirt, Lieutenant Weinberg, and anybody else listening across our vast Fox Sports Radio network.
No, I was more thinking about when you listen to The Cure, what that does to you. It's like, I have to examine myself and life and death and what it means and where I am in the grand scheme of things and what it all means. And is it all fake and are we all in the Matrix? So is it a matrix of our mind? I mean, that's what The Cure does to you. That's the music right there. And that's love. That song's called a love song. It's love song.
Well, that's what it's supposed to be, really deep, to make you think, wow, I'm really getting kind of bummed out. But really, it's supposed to be positive. Or is it a forever young kind of thing? No, not the cool Bob Dylan version.
You mean Rod Stewart. Rod Stewart.
No. Well, it was Dylan's. Dylan's was the original.
Yeah.
Stewart's was an interpretation and a reworking of that. And then you have the other one that was Forever Young, which was about killing yourself. So you've got all of these different ways to go about it.
See, I'm just thinking of the Rod Stewart with the kid in the car, and he's just singing the song to him, and the kid's just sitting on his lap the whole time.
Sure.
Very weird video. Very, very strange.
All right.
The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. And that's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations, they do apply. Well, today has been about quarterbacks and next season. And we talked about Dak a few minutes ago. And now the Pittsburgh Steelers have said, we are open for business. Not 2 days after the end of the season where, hey, Roethlisberger, we're ready. We're ready for what's next. We're ready. Mike Tomlin, head coach of the Steelers, said today that they are open for business to find their next signal caller.
Is the organization operating under the assumption that Ben will not be playing next year? And do you think Mason and or Dwayne Haskins is ready to be an everyday starting quarterback in this league?
You know, we are proceeding with that assumption. Both guys, Mason and Dwayne, have had their moments, but they'll have to prove that.
Yeah. Okay, one, neither of them is winning the starting quarterback
job.
Number two, all Ben Roethlisberger is doing is drawing out the drama so he can have the retirement week that he had and now the retirement game here and then have a moment when he can officially announce his retirement. But I think there's probably – I would say all of this is, hey, Ben, you are set to retire. The Steelers wanted to move on from a year ago. They told me he had to take less money. Is there maybe 3% of Ben Roethlisberger and, you know, with his agent when they say, You know, maybe I get a phone call from somebody saying, hey, we need a guy for 1 year, and maybe it's a really good team, and you never know. All right, well, let's leave the door open on that. Let me make a couple of calls. Let me make a couple of calls and see what we got. So, yeah, I would say 97% retired, 3%. You know, you never know. You never know who might be okay with you for 1 year, even though clearly he can't throw the ball. We told you couldn't throw the ball last year. We told you couldn't throw the ball in the offseason. We told you all this season he couldn't throw the ball. What are people saying? Oh, he can't throw the ball anymore. We told you. We're talent evaluators here on the show. We told you that was Roethlisberger. He was done week 11 of last season. But with the question going forward now for the Steelers, who's going to be their next quarterback? I'll tell you, there is one choice, and then there is one sort of choice, all right? The sort of choice who's the wild card in everything, the sort of choice where it's really the joker of this story. You got to listen to the whole show. You don't know where Deshaun Watson's going to wind up ending going. If he winds up playing, if he gets the okay to play back in the NFL, if he winds up getting cleared, you don't know how his legal situation's going to go. So, yeah, could I see Deshaun Watson? But I could see Deshaun Watson being the answer for a lot of teams that way. And I don't know if Pittsburgh's going to be a team that's going to pony up three first-round picks to go get him. The guy that's there is the player who's going to be the prize of the offseason, and I can send him on a jet stream there now. Not Zach Wilson. And it's going to be Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo will be the starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers next season. Write it all down. He's the prize of the offseason because there is nobody, right? Well, could they draft Kenny Pickett and say, hey, we got a Pitt guy who could be in the next guy. We got Jimmy Garoppolo for a year or two. Yeah, I could see that. But they're not going to go in saying, we're going to go start over with a new quarterback. This team is still pretty good. Their defense is really good. You're not going to waste a year of TJ Watt. You're not doing it. And you have weapons on offense. You have an emerging running back in Najee Harris. And you still have, even if you don't bring Juju Smith-Schuster back, Deontay Johnson's terrific. Pat Freiermuth has turned into a really good tight end early. You're going to reload more than you are going to rebuild. And the Niners have to move on from Garoppolo. Even if they win this week and make it to the NFC Championship game, they're not going to go into next year going, okay, Jimmy, you're still our guy, because they went out and got Trey Lance, and Trey Lance has to see the field. He has to. And in the end, Garoppolo is still a limited quarterback. It'd be one thing if Garoppolo threw the Niners to victory this week against the Cowboys and won a 41-39 Donnybrook where he threw for four touchdowns and 380 yards, but he didn't. He wasn't at 200 yards. It wasn't him at all. But he's going to be valuable because he's the best of what's available. There isn't going to be a lot of free agents. It's not a year to get guys in the draft unless you're making a big trade for Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson. Jimmy Garoppolo's the guy. And you know what? Even though I'm not a Garoppolo guy, he would fit pretty well in Pittsburgh because he would come in, have the respect of the veterans. The guy's got a strong arm. You know, he can throw it in that weather in Pittsburgh. And they would kind of pick up where they left off. They would probably win more games next year because at least the one thing I know about Garoppolo, he can throw it more than 2.6 yards per attempt, Mike Harmon. He can get that ball downfield. He would go from the weapons in San Francisco to the weapons in Pittsburgh. It is a great landing spot. And Garoppolo is going to be the beneficiary of the fact that there's nobody else available this offseason. So, hey, guess what? Because the Niners are going to be under the gun, and I don't care what happens, they got to go to Trey Lance. This is going to be the move. And the Steelers are going to have to trade a first-round pick and another. It's going to be probably a little bit more than that. Maybe a first and a third and another one. Maybe a pick comes back because the Niners played poker and won. They said, no, we're going to hold on to Jimmy. We're in the playoffs now. We're winning. Okay, now we can get more than a fringe second-round pick for him, which is what they would have gotten the end of last year. Now we get a full first-round pick and a third and maybe something else. So they played poker. They won. I give John Lynch and the Niners a lot of credit. But the Steelers are the team that is screaming and dying for a quarterback. The Broncos will go big game hunting. We know their interest in Aaron Rodgers, and Russell Wilson's going to be there too. But the Steelers and Jimmy Garoppolo, they're going to identify him as their guy, and they're going to go get him. Because honestly, guys like Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson aren't going to go to Pittsburgh. They're not going to go step in for a guy who won two Super Bowls and played quarterback there for almost 20 years. They're not going to go there. They're going to go someplace else. So it's going to be very easy. They will identify Garoppolo. They'll get him. That's where he's going to be.
Yeah, I don't think either of those guys moves, but you know, that's how I felt. And, you know, there was a lot of conversation after Russell Wilson's appearance with the Mannings and rules of engagement questions. Like, it was the I don't know or next question going to get you everything you wanted if the Mannings had actually asked him about any of that off-season stuff? No. So move on. He analyzed the teams that were playing, guys that he played against a bunch. Whether he stays in Seattle or not, right, obviously that's the big domino to fall because I still don't think the Packers are going to be willing to move Aaron Rodgers at all. And I think they'll play the same offseason that they did here. Here, we'll keep giving you more and more control and reminding you how much you have a nice path through to the playoffs each and every year. Now, if Mike Tomlin, at any point, anybody related to the Pittsburgh Steelers ownership or Kevin Colbert before he walks away, and then whether Omar Khan becomes the guy, or they've got a couple other internal candidates, and Khan's a guy that was on the list for the Bears. Something I almost spoke into existence, I think, Jason. talking about stable organizations and going and finding the next guy there. Might not be work with coaches because we immediately cite Belichick there. But the front office guys, out of those four or five franchises, usually do okay and stabilize some things. Hell, I'd go look at Mike Mayock right now. He got screwed in Las Vegas, right? It was all John Gruden. But whoever, if they try to force Ben Roethlisberger back on that team, if I'm Mike Tomlin, I throw my visor down and I quit. Like, I made the playoffs in spite of the fact that look at his shot chart. Right, we always do that for Steph Curry. Look, everything was 30 feet out and all this other stuff. For Ben Roethlisberger, it was in 3 yards of the line of scrimmage, plus or minus, like 95% of his pass attempts. You're not winning consistently that way. So congratulations on getting through here. As for being, you know, the next, yeah, it's the cupboard's bare. We talked about it, you know, a few days ago, kind of going through the free agents and expected wheel that spins. You just look around at the league. If you identified a guy that you think fits your organization, and we obviously talked about the big game hunting, then yeah, maybe you go make a trade for one of those other guys. Who's a world beater? Well, that's everybody's throwing every quarterback that lost in the first round is suddenly unable to play NFL quarterback if you listen to the masses right now. Kyler Murray will never win another game. Dak Prescott is not fit to be the quarterback, and so on and so forth.
And you're still Matthew Stafford's worse than all of them, even though he won. Oh, but no, they're still all better than Stafford.
No, that's right. He'll always be just above the guys that you didn't make the playoffs. But to that point, right, it's and you hate it, you know, to hear it, because I have to say it again. It's like you got a guy with a winning record in Buffalo behind Josh Allen.
Oh my God! Would you stop,
no,
with Mitchell,
hey,
Trubisky?
No, but if we're going to do the list, we've already talked about Jimmy Garoppolo. You
listen,
decided you to can, make this a conversation
listen,
today,
listen,
so
dude,
we're
going
to have that conversation.
Dude,
if we're going to do the let's do the exhaustive list,
dude,
then we got to do the flipping exhaustive list. Don't try to shut me up.
You jump right to Mitchell Trubisky. I didn't even bring up Mike White once, and you already jumped to Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah, but you got a guy that proved that he could actually win a game more than twice. As opposed to Mike White.
Look, I'll give you
Mike
this
White had a game.
Oh, come on. Mike White is way better than Mitchell Trubisky's ever been. His one game, he beat the Bengals. The Bengals are still – he beat the Bengals and the Titans. That's like the Jets could win this – could hang a banner on that if one of those teams makes the Super Bowl. We beat the Super Bowl participant for the AFC in 2021.
So here's the thing. I did my sleep study and heart check last week, okay? You trying to goad me now, that's not helping anything. All that is, you know, flips on a radar right now that I don't have a measuring device on me. What do you or you go get the shirtless Ryan Fitzpatrick. Is that what you'd rather go do?
No. This is what I'll give you for Trubisky. If a team looking for a quarterback that's not going to be able to bring somebody else in, right, like Cleveland with Baker Mayfield or the the Panthers who can't bring somebody in, they're trotting out Darnold again and Newt. Like a team like that, I can see bringing in Trubisky as being a backup with upside. Like that's kind of what, hey, if things go bad, maybe we catch lightning in a bottle with him and he's pretty good. Maybe he's like Case Keenum or someone else. But I mean, Jimmy's a starter. Jimmy's won playoff games. Jimmy's playing now. Jimmy's playing ball right now. Jimmy's pretty good. Jimmy's doing it.
Jimmy.
Jimmy's a starter and Jimmy's been a starter and Jimmy's done. I can't believe I'm doing this without trying to do it. So yeah, no, they're on a different wavelength right now, Jimmy and Mitch.
The point is, what do you have to give up, and what's the difference? Right? How big is the differential? Because you take me to a competent organization. Maybe Mitchell Trubisky's a better quarterback. I'm not saying better than Jimmy. You know how much I love Jimmy.
But
the idea of what you have to give up to get him. Right? It's not distressed property, because at this point, San Francisco doesn't know what they have in Trey Lance. And you could legitimately go into the offseason going, I don't know if he's the guy yet. Right?
But just
because you traded for him doesn't mean you automatically give him the job. Many people assumed he was going to be the quarterback this year just because of what they did to trade for him. Ta-da! It's like making the pencil disappear in the dark night. Didn't happen now, did it? In terms of switching out your quarterback. And Jimmy Garoppolo is here in round two of the playoffs. So it's, you know, obviously a multi-pronged and faceted approach, and the curiosity is who's willing to give up big assets. Remember, the salary cap does go up a bunch this year and will be expected to go up the following year, so you can play a little bit with that knowledge to maybe bringing in a little more of a higher cost asset. But the, you know, you're also still trying to make sure the rest of that team remains strong. How many are top heavy? And certainly that's not the winning formula unless you have that extra special signal caller.
Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. Maybe Jimmy does. Maybe Mitchell does. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. I'm telling you, write it down. Jimmy and the Steelers.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. And that's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations, they do apply. Well, as we start to turn the page on the season of the teams who lost in the first round of the playoffs in the NFL, before we get into the matchups coming up later on this week, there's teams that need to make moves if they want to get better, if they want to improve and be deeper into the conversation next year and moving on. There's changes, and then there's panic. Right? There's these things that certain teams are going to wind up doing in the offseason, and you got to hope the right teams do the right thing. All right, so I'm going to give you a team, Mike Harmon, and you are going to be surprised at what I'm going to say. You ready?
Okay. Shock me.
I will shock you, make you feel better. Shock me, make me feel better. The Patriots should not panic. Even though they got boat raced by the Bills and Mac Jones is a game manager quarterback, I'm sorry, but he is. He's not Tom Brady. They shouldn't panic because this was a great season for them. They didn't have all the right signings they needed, but they went from 7-9 to 10-7, and they had the best record in the AFC for a while until they kind of fell apart down the stretch the last 3-4 weeks. Right? When you flip 7-9 to 10-7 and you still have room, they got like $25 million in cap space, which they can easily make more by cutting players, restructuring. They have money to get better and to make their team even more of a big-time favorite next year, right? You're this close with Mac Jones, who, like I said, is a game manager. Will he be a little bit better next year? Probably. And yeah, you're all in on him now because you're trying to win while your quarterback is on a rookie deal. Because if Mac Jones turns out to be great, then you got to pay him. All things happen. Mac Jones is never going to be great, but Belichick's hoping he's just good enough. So while you're doing this, not spending money on a quarterback, if you're smart again, you will become more of a threat. Now, you need some adjustments on defense because clearly you fell apart at the end of the year and it wasn't quite what you had drummed up the first 11, 12 weeks. You need a couple more weapons on offense. Clearly, he needs a game-breaking receiver in the Stephon Diggs-type mold because you look at what Diggs means for the Bills' offense. Mm-hmm. It's incredible for Josh Allen, what he did. So it's not like they need a ton because, look, Jacoby Myers is a decent wide receiver. They they sign a couple of guys who are okay as depth guys, but you go get that number one guy, and there's going to be a few number one guys out there, that changes the fortunes of the Patriots. So if you can be smart on defense, and Belichick clearly has shown he's got a great acumen bringing the right defensive players in, you make that big splurge on offense and bring in that big number one wide receiver, suddenly the Patriots are even better. I would not panic if I was New England.
Oh, not at all. I think you've got the structure's there, right? Still viable with the way defense performed down the stretch, struggled some, so you got to shore things up in there, as you alluded to, the amount of money you have in cap space, and certainly some guys are going to be waved goodbye during the process, during the turnover. But I think Mac Jones has a higher ceiling than you do, not necessarily superstar, but everybody that did the Brady comparisons, as long as they kept it into, all right, here's where he was there, and comparing him is always a foolhardy effort. Right, because we know how the story ended, right? So saying this is what he looked like back here, it's like, okay, still a lot of room for growth. But in this case, in this day and age of the NFL, right, it's changed a lot since Tom Brady broke in. I think we have to stipulate to that, that you do need that number one guy that can go and get the ball, that you can force it to, and he's going to make plays. Like you mentioned with Stephon Diggs, Josh Allen was a guy that was improving coming along, but you get a number one wide receiver that you now have to, you know, sometimes bring that third man into the area to try to, you know, make sure he's not open. Well, as you develop, you're finding the open man. Right now, you don't have that number one receiver. So, yeah, running back by committee, as always, good defense. Mac Jones will get better in year two, and you move forward. Yeah, I think there's and the Jets and the Dolphins are going to stink. So it
exactly.
works out well.
We don't need to pass. We just got to get.
Well, you just have to fight with one team.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Everybody else still stinks. You're going to be fine. So if there's no panic for the Patriots, boy, one team that's got to press the panic button repeatedly. Coming up next right here, Jason and Mike, you are listening to Fox.
Cleveland!